Something strange happened in 2016 that revealed everything about modern America. Donald Trump shattered every rule of political conduct, yet voting patterns barely shifted from 2012. Republicans still voted Republican, Democrats still voted Democratic, and groups Trump openly attacked showed minimal movement. This wasn't about Trump being normal. It was about polarization being so powerful that it normalizes even the most abnormal candidates. We've become so locked into our political tribes that party loyalty now overrides everything else: judgment, values, even self-interest. The question isn't why Trump won, but why our political identities have become so unshakable that nothing, not scandal, not policy reversals, not basic decency, can dislodge them. Picture political scientists in 1950 begging for more polarization. Seriously, the American Political Science Association published a report lamenting that parties were too similar and worked together too easily. They worried voters couldn't make intelligent choices when Democrats and Republicans looked nearly identical. The problem was real. Voting for liberal Hubert Humphrey meant also empowering conservative Strom Thurmond in your party's Senate majority. Parties were supposed to function as shortcuts, bundled positions that saved citizens from becoming policy experts on everything, but they weren't honoring that contract. Fast forward to today, and we've solved that problem spectacularly. Between the 1970s and now, the correlation between presidential preference and House voting jumped from 0.54 to 0.97. Translation: knowing how someone votes for president now tells you almost perfectly how they'll vote down ballot. Reagan raised taxes and supported environmental protections that would end a Republican career today. Clinton declared the era of big government is over and reformed welfare with Republicans, moves unthinkable for modern Democrats. Medicare received substantial Republican support in 1965. Obamacare received zero Republican votes despite incorporating Republican ideas. This sorting has made politics clearer but more intense. Even politically disengaged Americans now understand party differences better than political junkies did in 1980. The average partisan gap on key issues has more than doubled since 1994. Increasingly, Americans view the opposing party not just as wrong, but as a threat to the nation's well-being. We asked for ideological clarity, and we got tribal warfare. On August 28, 1957, Strom Thurmond spoke for over 24 hours against a civil rights bill in the most famous filibuster in American history. It was pure theater. Southern senators had already gutted the bill's meaningful provisions. Thurmond's marathon boosted his career as defender of the South's racial order, which had plummeted black voter registration from over 85% after the Civil War to just 5% by 1944. The Civil Rights Act triggered the Great Sorting. Southern conservatives joined Republicans, Northern liberals joined Democrats, and suddenly the parties had no overlap. By 2012, 43% of Democrats were non-white versus just 9% of Republicans. Religious divides grew equally stark. Republicans' largest group became evangelical Protestants, while Democrats became the religiously unaffiliated. We're now divided along identity lines that generate far more intolerance than policy disagreements. In 2008, Barack Obama symbolized change as hope. In 2016, Donald Trump wielded it as threat. This reflects America's defining transformation. By 2045, America will become majority-minority. Psychologists discovered that merely exposing white Americans to demographic shift projections moved their political views significantly rightward. Despite hopes that Obama's election signaled post-racial America, his presidency further racialized politics. The black-white divide on Obamacare was 20 points larger than for Clinton's health proposal. By 2012, Obama won just 39% of the white vote, less than Dukakis in 1988. A 2016 poll found 57% of whites agreed discrimination against whites was as big a problem as discrimination against minorities. Holocaust survivor Henry Tajfel's 1970 experiments revealed how instantly humans form us versus them categories. Participants assigned to groups based on meaningless criteria, dot estimation, or art preferences, immediately showed in-group favoritism. More disturbingly, they often preferred giving their group less money if it meant maintaining an advantage over others, pure discrimination with zero material benefit. Sports fandom perfectly illustrates this tribal psychology. Millions attach their happiness to games they don't play, yet this attachment triggers riots, causing thousands of arrests and deaths. Research confirms partisans behave more like sports fans than thoughtful citizens. Republicans with very unfavorable views of Democrats were 12 points more likely to vote regularly than those with mostly unfavorable views. We're motivated more by hating them than loving us. Barack Obama's transformative 2004 speech claimed there's no liberal America and conservative America, but the United States of America. Despite this vision, he became one of the most polarizing presidents in polling history. American partisanship has become what researcher Liliana Mason calls a mega identity, where a single vote indicates religion, race, geography, and consumer habits. Politics has transformed from "what will this policy do for me?" into "what does support for this policy say about me?" And that's far more personal. The individual mandate reveals tribal thinking overriding consistency. Born in a 1989 Heritage Foundation brief with Republican support, including from Milton Friedman and 18 GOP senators, it became unconstitutional tyranny when Democrats adopted it. Legal experts called the 2010 challenge close to frivolous, yet Republican judges ruled against it while Democratic appointees upheld it. Yale law professor Dan Kahan gave 1,000 Americans a math test, then two problems, one about skin cream, another using identical numbers framed around gun control. Politics didn't affect skin cream answers, but with gun control, ideology drove results. Stronger math skills widened this gap by 45 percentage points. Kahan calls this identity protective cognition. Making a scientific mistake costs nothing, but contradicting your tribe risks everything. For Sean Hannity, accepting climate change could destroy his career. As David Brooks found after breaking with conservatives over Trump, "My weekends were just howling silences." We're not stupid, we're tribal. Being smart just makes us better at defending our tribe. Drawing on 15 years as a political journalist, one truth emerges. Almost no one follows politics out of obligation. They do so as a hobby, like following sports. In 1995, consumers had limited options: hometown papers, radio, nightly newscasts, perhaps CNN. By the mid-2000s, they could access virtually any newspaper worldwide, countless blogs, multiple cable networks, and vast archives through Google. Yet, despite this abundance, Americans weren't becoming more politically knowledgeable. Princeton political scientist Marcus Pryor resolved this paradox. The digital revolution offered not just more information, but more choice of information. Political journalism now serves those already interested, fundamentally different from when political news was part of a monopolistic bundle. Media functions as a conspiracy to surface the loudest voices through market demands. As MSNBC's Chris Hayes admits, we're wedding DJs, and the wedding DJ's job is to get you on the floor. When confronted with opposing views, we don't moderate, we become more extreme. A study paid over 1,200 Twitter users to follow bots retweeting content from the other side. Republicans became substantially more conservative, while Democrats showed slight increases in liberal attitudes. Trump weaponizes this by lobbing grenades into our deepest divides. His outrageous statements dominate media oxygen when his campaign needs it most. Journalism doesn't merely reflect reality, it shapes it, making media outlets powerful political actors rather than neutral observers. American politics has no perfect solution, only the best we can do right now. What works in one era fails in the next. The goal isn't finding a static answer, but progressing with minimal violence. Despite current challenges, America has been worse at almost every point in history. The romanticized mid-20th century featured political assassinations, violent civil rights suppression, urban riots, and Watergate. Rather than reversing polarization, we should reform our system to function amid it, bomb-proofing government against political disaster. The debt ceiling is an obvious target, a bizarre mechanism that could transform routine bickering into global financial crisis. Politicians would adopt less polarizing approaches if forced to build broader coalitions through eliminating the Electoral College and implementing proportional representation with multi-member districts and ranked choice voting. We must also recognize how political systems manipulate us by activating our political identities to drive engagement. While we can't eliminate identities' influence, we can become mindful of which identities are being activated and intentionally cultivate others. We give excessive attention to national politics, where our individual influence is minimal, while neglecting state and local politics, where our voices matter more. Of America's over 500,000 elected officials, only 537 serve federally, yet these are the ones we obsess over most. The path forward isn't about eliminating polarization or pretending both sides are equally responsible. It's about understanding how tribal psychology, demographic shifts, media incentives, and broken institutions combine to create our current crisis. We're not doomed to be puppets of our political identities, but breaking free requires recognizing the strings. Building systems that reward coalition building over tribal warfare, cultivating identities beyond politics, and focusing energy where it actually matters, these improvements compound into meaningful progress.